from the show.
Thank you very much.
This is a film focused on two characters, Chris and Lewis, and their journey across the Scottish Highlands. It focuses on two reunited friends meeting later in life. Were you interested in using the story of the trek as a metaphor of the way in which we sort of live our life?
Yeah, a little bit. It's more specific parts. I don't think it's our whole life, but specific parts. And for me, I think what was interesting is what I've done a long trail like this myself in New Zealand. I walked the Te Aroha for 4.5 months with a friend of mine. We also slept in the same tent. And on that journey, I kept a diary. And afterwards, when reading it, I noticed how little real connection we had, how little good conversations we had. And I think it was mostly because, at least I can only speak for myself, but I was so busy with myself, with my own things, my own life, that it was very tricky to also see that there was another person with their own lives and their own thoughts and their own ideas. And when I started noticing that afterwards, I also saw, I think I had the same sometimes with roommates, like how, even though we live so closely together, how connected are we really? And that was the starting point for, you put two people on a journey and you would say this is a film about something that happens between them. But in the end, I think it's more a film about two individuals that have a connection, but they are more busy with the individual part.
Traditionally, in many cultures, the idea of the pilgrimage has been an important part of human development, whether that be the walking the Camino or taking the trek to Mecca. In this story, what's interesting is you're really focusing on the sort of the self-discovery that can happen when one spends time away from many of life's distractions.
Yeah, I think what I've noticed myself as well when I do these kinds of things is that when you really step out of your bubble and go into nature, you don't have cell phone reception or those things. So then there's no new information coming into your life. Everything that comes up is stuff that's already in you. And then nature and that walking in a meditative state of that, it gives you the time and the space to see what comes up. And I think sometimes if you haven't done that before, stuff can come up. You haven't never talked to yourself. But for me now, for example, I also use it to just recalibrate and see, okay, where am I in my life? And more the conclusion is, oh, actually things are going pretty well. But I think it's nice sometimes to stand still and to see, okay, am I still on the right path? And I think for these two guys, it's the first time that they really do that. I think they're still confused about all the things that are going on in their lives.
You really go into the intricacies of hiking, witnessing the midges, the cold, the cabins, the cramped space, as you said, the people that share in the tent, but also the way in which the characters engage with the landscape. Was this story based on, how much of this story was based on the sort of personal experiences of your journey? You've kind of answered some of this.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, a lot. No, because I think a lot of the situations I got from my journey in New Zealand where, but it's just these little things that you know that I noticed is that what's also in the film is that the irritations that me and my friend, at least I had, I think he had towards me, but I don't know, is it's not the big things. It is the same as with roommates, is that you get annoyed when someone doesn't wash up their stuff. And then if you don't say something about it immediately, you will not say it the next day and it will build and it will become this giant thing in your head. And I think with the film here, it's like that as well, as after a while, it's just all these little bits and pieces and you try to remain the peace because you want to have the status quo of we have to do this together. So let's not mess it up. And in that, you try to keep a peace and a status quo, but then you're also not really saying the things that are bugging you, which, of course, you should do. But then you have to talk about your feelings, what you think, and all those things, which sometimes is very difficult. So for me, it was a lot of the situations when reading my diaries and also stuff that I got from other people that I know. That's then the scene of, okay, this is the situation that I can make happen. Setting up a tent in the rain after a whole day of hiking and not eating. It's not the tent in the rain part, actually, that makes it difficult. It's the not eating part. You're just cranky because you're hungry. So the moment that you've eaten something again and you're warm in your tent, and then everything is good. There's no problem anymore. And I think those kind of things I really wanted to show because, yeah, that's the reality, I think, of being out there. And that's one of the goals of the film as well, to kind of a glimpse in the reality of being out there.
I mean, even small things like the GPS technology. I thought that was quite interesting. The whole idea of wanting to, I mean, how much hiking has changed in, say, 20 years. Like, traditionally, there would have been. It was very much a map culture, or pre that, it would have even been pre that technology. But I mean, we've had map culture for quite a long time, and it's quite interesting because it changes the way in which you connect with your landscape. I mean, it seemed like that so much of the early part of the film, they're looking at their phones, and that idea of getting away from that, I thought, was quite interesting and sort of seems a much more sort of purist form of hiking.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? At how quickly we cannot even imagine not bringing your phone to one of these things. And what he says, like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it's still some people that I know, they don't bring that. That's not how it works. But there's been this change so quickly that even for me, it's not. I've never walked with a map before. It's something that I would like to do, but I haven't done that. So it's also kind of a comment to myself. But no, those things have changed super quickly that for me, it's also I never walk with music in my ears, for example. Because then I want to be out there. I want to really experience that. For me, when I see someone just always plugged in, I think you could also just listen to music and walk on a treadmill. You know, for me, then there's no difference. But everyone experiences outdoors in a different way. And I think with the maps, that's kind of the same.
So what is interesting as the journey continues is we find out a bit about the characters. We discover Bill is a busy professional on his way to a settled life, which is a very different path to Lewis, who remains much less certain on his future. Can you tell us a little bit about the two main characters of the film?
They both stem from my own experiences. I think that there's this interesting thing is when you're early 30s, there's still these two types of people. One is maybe a little bit slower in finding their purpose, and the other one had already that from when he was 22. And people, they come out of university, they have a couple of years, and some are already, they have already a house and a car and a mortgage, and they already got some promotions. And the other one is still on that early stages. And then after a while, when you're going to your 40s, that kind of connects again. But this is always a period when that can really, really be very different. And then if you are very good friends, the things that you want to talk about, the things that are on your mind are also so vastly different, just of the stage in your life where you are. And I think that's where they find themselves in these vastly different periods of life. But also they're both stuck in how they view the world. Lewis is, for me, is kind of stuck in feeling that the world is somehow against him and he needs to prove his worth. And Chris is kind of stuck in, okay, this is how life is supposed to be. You know, you get a job, you work, you have all this responsibility. And what for me is, I think the first thing that they need to find out in the film is that they're actually stuck. And so often in life, we are very good at pointing out problems with other people. And I think we're very bad at seeing it in ourselves. For me, the film is more that, is that, okay, figure out what's actually going on. There's all these feelings, all these things going on, but for me, it's like, okay, not even getting unstuck and coming with a solution, but just that first realization is already very, very difficult.
Also in the film, you show how the men struggle to communicate with each other. There's lots unsaid, there's limited dialogue. Was this a look at this difficulty men experience exposing vulnerability?
Well, yeah, I'm a man, so in that sense, it comes from me. So that could be true. I still think that humans in general are mostly not very good in communicating what's actually going on. Sometimes we're good at communicating what we feel in the moment, but not really, okay, but what's happening then? But for me, it was stuff that I've been working through in the last couple of years of also, okay, I want to feel more, feeling the ups and the downs and the good parts, but actually really experiencing them is, I think, one of the most beautiful things in life. And sometimes for me, it's frustrating when I can't. So for me, I also really wanted to show that what the difficulties are with that. It's not a glorification of this is how it should be. I don't hope that in the end of the film, people think that I glorify that because it's very clearly that it's not going that well for them. And then to kind of counter that, you have all these other characters that they encounter, which are very open and which are very emotional. Also really to counterbalance that and to kind of show these two guys like, hey, there's a different way of doing things. They, in this moment, take something from that. But just as in life, sometimes it kind of needs to settle in, and a couple of months later you think like, oh yeah, that was actually very important. It was more my own struggle with that I kind of wanted to give a place.
Visually, you've done a great job, you know, displaying the immensity of the Scottish Highlands and the often difficult terrain, getting the contours of the landscape, how the characters relate to the environment. How much of a challenge was it filming out in the Scottish Highlands?
Yeah, quite a challenge. Also because the film is about a 600-kilometer hike, and we walked, I think, 300 kilometers of that. So we have a very small crew. We were with, in total, of 8 people, 2 people that were supporting us. So they had a car. And then 6 people, we were actually walking. So we had our backpacks with our tents and our hiking stuff, but then also all the cameras, the batteries, everything with us. So then if you see us in the film, the scene is up on a mountain. We walked up the mountain. We went into nature 4 or 5, sometimes 6 days at a time with our food and everything with us. And then on that road, we filmed. And then when we got out of nature, we had 2 people with a car and nice food, and they would treat us. But yeah, those 6 days were really hiking. So then what happens then is that whatever nature throws at us, that's what we are going to film with. So if it's raining, then we film in the rain. And if there's these midges, I think, like in New Zealand, you have sand flies. Then people will know they're the worst. And in there, it's a different name, same creature. So you have to kind of work with that. And you don't really know what you're going to get. So there, I have a script that's fully finished. But it's also that changes with, like, every day these little things change. The characters become different. And also sometimes nature gives us these little gifts, like a beautiful sunset that then we can make a scene around. It keeps being creative. But sometimes that it's quite tricky. But then you are with 6 people, and also with Twan, my cinematographer, we've worked together on our previous film where we did something very similar. He's so talented that, yeah, he can create these beautiful images. But it's also very difficult to make something that's not beautiful when you're in a place like that. It's just amazing.
So what's sort of interesting is also the sort of understated way in which the film's depicted. In many such films, you end up having this epiphany forced on you, but in this film, you just allow the story to sort of slowly unravel on the journey. Was the slower pace in the film an effort to sort of garner that authenticity?
Yeah, I think it's also the... I really want you as an audience to feel like you're a third person walking with these 2 men. And the best way I can explain it is if I show you a scene of a person walking in the rain, and I show that only for 10 seconds, you'll think like, oh, that's pretty shitty. And then you'll move on. But if I show it to you for a minute and a half, I think it slowly starts to dawn on you like, oh, this takes very long. Because that's also the atmosphere and the rhythm that I want audience to get into. Okay, you have to, in the end, kind of feel like you walked with us for a bit. But walking takes the whole day. And there's a lot of things that you can think of. And you need to get into this almost meditative state. If you do that and you can join with us in that state, I think it's something really nice. So no, the pacing is very deliberate, I think. You could make maybe a 90-minute film out of it, but it would lose all its soul and all the essence of what we're really trying to say. It's not a film about a plot or a murder and who did it. And no, it's way more about, okay, what's going on? How are we feeling about this? And slowly following these characters and get into the same kind of mental state as them. So yeah, for that, I think you needed to have a slower pace.
I mean, I could see a Hollywood film like doing this completely different. You'd have a lot more. You'd have a music, and there'd be a massive climax, and it would be structured in a very, very deliberate way. But I don't know. I get the feeling that it would feel very artificial. It would feel very contrived.
We always have to, we always have to joke that in the Hollywood version, that would be a bear attack. Yeah, yeah, not in this film, no. But actually, that we notice that sometimes people watch the film and they are projecting all these things onto it, like, oh, there must be happening more. There must be happening this. And I sometimes say, yeah, but normal life is already so dramatic. Like, not big Hollywood dramatic, but normal life is already very dramatic. So that's enough. There doesn't have to be great intrigue, I think, to already be quite dramatic.
So who are your sort of film influences when you're any filmmakers that really inspired you to structure the film in the way you do?
Well, I think what for me is in a couple of things that were inspiring. There's a Chinese film. It's called An Elephant Sitting Still. It's a 4.5-hour film. But what that film showed me was sometimes there's this, okay, someone walks down the street, and instead of just cutting and going to the end, he just followed the character all the way to the end. And it said so much about time and about what that was, that it showed me like, oh, wow, the length of a shot can tell so much more about what's going on. It's not just what's the characters and getting from A to B as quick and as economic as possible. There's so much more to tell also just by length, which I thought was very interesting. But for me, the inspiration comes mostly not in the substance of the films, but in how to make a film. Because the substance is, that's personal, but it's the most tricky part of making a film is actually setting it up and how are you going to do it. And then it's filmmakers like Richard Linklater, for example, who, you know, with the Midnight trilogies, it's, you can see that he just did it. He just had an idea and he looks at, okay, how is it actually possible to make something? And I think for us, it's also, we didn't have a big budget. We made the film with 75,000 euros. We had a crew of 8 people and we also walked 300 kilometers. So it's more about, okay, how can we make something happen? And then there's a lot of really interesting filmmakers that don't need 10 million or 5 million or, and they really are inspiring in the sense, okay, I'm going to do it no matter what. And I always really love listening to those stories.
Also, you know, someone like Kelly Reichardt, I thought her films, like they're all low budget and they seem to be about small things, but the impact of these, like what are so-called small stories, isn't like, they're very emotional and they're very much about very substantial parts of people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in that sense, that's also with it was something that I was struggling with. And in that sense, it's so real that I hope that other people can find bits and pieces that bring them back to places in their own lives. It doesn't have to be what I have experienced, but other parts. And then it becomes very one-on-one. It becomes very real. And you could do that with a metaphor of a giant thing, or you can just, make it, it's not smaller, but it's because, like you said, it's very impactful, I think.
What were the actors like without the creature comforts? Did that actual physical effort of carrying all the equipment and covering large amounts of ground, did that really make the performances powerful because they felt that sort of sense of exhaust, the sort of grueling nature of a long hike?
Well, I think it depends on the actor, but for us, I think it did because I don't have to explain to them how they should feel because they know what it was like to walk up the mountain yesterday because they just did, or they know how tired they are. So I think with all those things, it's so, okay, so yesterday you didn't sleep that well, you're tired today. Let's not pretend that doesn't exist. It goes very close to who they are and what they're feeling as a human being. And then they have to sift that through the character to make that also come out. But it's not something that they have to hide. It's not that, you know, when they're on top of a mountain, they don't have to act that what they're seeing is beautiful because we can all see it's beautiful. And I think then the acting becomes a little bit more natural because it's everything is already there. They just have to be there for us to see that. And then you can tone down the acting so much. And I think that for me is very interesting because then you're just looking at people and you can see that so much is going through their minds. And I think that's something also both actors really have to play it that subtle, to play like those things. But I think also it even goes for me, I think, to the cinematographer who's also walked this whole path. So also the choices that he makes, they can just be that very little bit different because he understands on an emotional level what's going on instead of we intellectually trying to talk about it. It's always different if you've experienced something yourself. And even if all this wasn't true, I just think it's the most fun way to make a film because we can just go out with a couple of people and we're going to walk. And yes, it's also very tough. And walking in the rain and trying to film in the rain is really not a lot of fun. But it's still one of the most fun things, I think, to make a journey like this and make a film in the same time. So even if it didn't bring anything extra, I would still do it. But I truly believe that you get into it, you start understanding what's going on. And you also have, no one goes home at the end of the day. So we're together the whole time. So you also build this strong relationship and you stay in it. You stay in the story. So it just keeps on building and keeps on building. I think that adds a lot to the subtleties of what we're doing.